Good morning to every one of you and to our special guests. Nice to see you, Mr. Song, and I understand you just came from the Grove Conference. With your presence here and our brother from Myanmar, brought back to me very fresh memories, very good memories. I remember too when I was in India. First time I ever spoke to a crowd of over 1,000 people when the assembly in the south would gather together for a Bible conference in December. That was my encounter with the assembly in India as I traveled from Chennai down to the south for the conference. I was then communicating with Mr. Raja Simon and also visiting Colin Reddy in Chennai in the Brisbane Charitable Trust, MCT. Our brother Yamma reminds me of the time too when I spoke to over 1,000 people when I was brought and invited by a Youth for Christ, I forgot the real name for it, that had a very big conference. And I spoke there first time to such a big crowd. Mr. Zeming, we are saying, he's a sign the father had already died. Then this evening we had the mission from Cambodia. I remember I was there for the first time when that work was started. Today, it is taken over by the assemblies in Singapore. And it is good indeed to be able to listen again to the development of mission work in this area. Yeah, we were talking about our brother in Myanmar, I'm from Myanmar. My first association with the assembly there was in Yangon and then went to Mandalay. And I had to switch at night with hurricane lenses. Why? In Mandalay, that was the first time the building was put up and they had no electricity. And so I had to sit in darkness, giving them light. Well, today, I would be gladly step down for our brother John, who is a project of India. But I would ask that he needs to have a rest, so let him rest. I was also associated with Emmaus, with the cover, Andrew Cover and his father. And I had taken a number of meetings there in Sydney when Dr. G.D. James invited me to speak at a conference. So this visit of the missionaries have brought back fresh memories to me. Anyway, let's put that in the past and let's deal with what we have to deal with today. Our subject for today is twofold. Mary, why are you weak? The actual words were, woman, why weepest thou? And that's taken from John 20, 13 and 15. Now, I have a lot of Bible references to turn to this morning. I don't have time to refer to all of them, but if you have the Bibles open, it will be good if you can check what I say with the word of the Lord. Now, in those two verses, in John chapter 20, 13 and 15, this question was asked, while woman, why weepest thou? By two angels and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They saw Mary weeping. And they asked, woman, why weepest thou? And later on, we find that the woman came back and saw Jesus, but did not recognize him. And Jesus said, woman, why weepest thou? After that, we have time, hopefully, we shall go on to discuss Thomas, who Who was missing when Jesus appeared again the week after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? On that, actually on the resurrection day, the Lord had appeared to the disciples. Disciples had told Thomas that we have seen Christ, that he would not believe. And he said, unless I touch him, I will not believe. And so we have the story for this morning. What happened to Thomas? We shall see that as we go on to it. So let me read the text as a start for our study this morning. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, and when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. So, first heading that we are going to discuss in our study is Mary's broken-hearted tears when she saw the healing stone and the Lord taken away. Why are you weeping? The stone has been removed. Why are you weeping? They have taken away my Lord. And this will be the gist of our study this morning. Why are you weeping? Who was this Mary Magdalene? I understand last Sunday our brother Joseph gave you a detailed study of her life already. It's good in one way. It refreshes the memory of what was heard this morning. But of course, I will not touch on everything that he has said. I will just go on and look at it, see from another aspect. Who was Mary Magdalene? Mary called Magdalene, out of whom he had cut him, the Lord Jesus Christ, had cast seven demons. This seems to be the attribute of Mary Magdalene, the one out of whom he had cast seven demons. Mary Magdalene, who would she be then? Would she be the one whose surname was Magdalene? Mary, her name? Magdalene, her surname? Or would she be from Magdala, the town? Just as the Lord Jesus Christ was a Nazarene. And when he is called a Nazarene, because he is from Nazareth. So, is Mary Magdalene from Magdala? Never mind, doesn't matter. What we need to know is she was Mary Magdalene. And you are what you are this morning. No other person, hopefully the Lord will speak to you and to me personally. Never mind about others. Mary's faith in following Jesus. Let's see what kind of person that Mary was. In Mark 16 verse 9, we know that she knew what it was to be possessed of demons. She was always associated with the one out of whom was cast seven demons. So she knew what it was to be possessed by demons and innocent. But she also knew the power of such a deliverance by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one out of whom he cast seven demons. She had a very personal experience with the Lord himself. And that's what we Christians need to have, and need to be a personal experience with the Lord. So that was Mary's faith in following Jesus. Now, let's look at Mary's faithfulness in following Jesus. After she had come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was her life like? Well, we read, she followed Jesus and cared for his needs in life. Jesus was busy. 30 years and over, he was walking everywhere, he was preaching everywhere, and he had no time to cook, no time to eat food. But he was married, and perhaps the other women who were standing by to take care of his needs. She ministered to Jesus of her substance at the commencement of his ministry. What she had, she contributed to the Lord. She was faithful in that way. She ministered to Jesus not only from the very commencement of her association with the Lord Jesus Christ, but also she continued and continued until even at the time when Jesus was hanging on the cross. And we read that she was standing by at the cross. Such was her faithfulness. A person out of whom had been cast 7 demons. Yes, she was present with Jesus during his suffering from the cross, Matthew 27:45-55 and 56. She was there. She was standing there. She was by the side. Although at the beginning, she was following afar off. Now that could be understood, because the Jewish society looked down or put aside the role of a woman. The witness of a woman could not be trusted. And she knew she was a woman, but she still loved the Lord. She could not go away from the Lord. And right, she would follow the Lord afar off. Following the Lord afar off would not mean that she would give up her faith in the Lord. Her faith was there. She would still follow the Lord. But look at another person, Peter. We read that Peter followed Jesus afar off too. But when he followed Jesus afar off, he denied Jesus. Very sad when you read Matthew 26 and 58. Very sad. He followed Jesus afar off. And he denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. And on the 3rd time, he heard the cock crow. And the cock crow, and oh, he cried. Why? Because the Lord had said earlier, Peter, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me twice. And so he did. So he did. He followed Jesus afar off, and he denied Jesus. Mary followed Jesus afar off, but she could not remain following Jesus afar off. Her faith in the Lord was there. She must go near, and she went by. She went near the cross, the throne. Peter wept because he betrayed his master. Yes, Peter wept. But Mary also wept. Mary also wept. But because she missed her beloved master. Two different people following Jesus afar off. Two people reacted differently with regard to Jesus. Two people wept. One wept because of his failure. The other wept because of her faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Lord who had cast out the demons before her and whom she was following all the time. She had stayed behind to watch Joseph bury Jesus' body in the cemetery before she went back. She was so faithful to follow right to the end to see what really happened to the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ. She did not want to see the body of Christ mistreated. Oh, it was already mistreated on the cross. His back was furrowed. His face was marred and blood was flowing down. He was pierced by his side. His hands and his feet were pierced by the nails. Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. And she wanted to see that master, and his body was properly embalmed. Then she waited to the very end when Joseph went to get the body down. And when Nicodemus brought in the spices to embalm him, he was there. Would you be there? Oh, it would be a fear to prove him, to fall into the hands of the Roman soldiers. But he was there. He was there. Yes, Mary's grace, Mary's faithfulness, and thirdly, Mary's follow-up. So that the next day after the Sabbath, the moment she had the chance to go back, would you? And face the wrath of the soldiers again? She went back. John 21. She returned to the tomb to finish what was left unfinished due to Sabbath. Because after the Lord Jesus Christ died, the next day was Sabbath. And the Sabbath, she could not do any work. So she must rest. So she went back. But the first thing after the rest, the Sabbath rest, that she could do was to get up and go back to the tomb. She went back to the tomb. She set out while it was still dark and arrived at the sepulcher at sunrise, early morning. So this is the only part I'm sure of with regard to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week. I'm not sure when Jesus Christ died, although the Lord Jesus Christ said in his prediction about his death, burial, and resurrection, as Noah was in the grave, in the fish's belly, for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be. His only sign of his days that he would spend in burial. As Noah was in the fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be. No matter how you come. Unfortunately, Friday will not be cheerful day and cheerful night. And that's why I call this important day Resurrection Day. The day when Jesus rose again from the dead. And I will not give that honor to the Greek pagan goddess. She wanted to sustain, to do, to embalm the body of the Lord with spices. That's why she went back early. And not only that, the spices that she had already bought to prepare herself to do this kind of work. She had to stop to observe the Sabbath the day before. She was obedient to the word. Thus, she set out at sunrise, early Sunday dawn. So you come back. On Sunday dawn, the Lord Jesus Christ rose again. But before that, three full days and three full nights. When will that be? That will be another study. So, we have studied Mary's broken-hearted tears. Now let's study Mary's bitter tears. She was still in the sepulchre on the first day of the week. And she saw two angels. And the two angels asked her, "Why are you weeping?" After that incident, she left and she saw a man behind her. It was the Lord Jesus. But she could not recognize the Lord whom she missed so much. And she cried out, and the Lord Jesus cried out, "Woman, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou?" So she wept. And what the answer is of she? "They have taken away my Lord. The Lord is in front of you. They have taken away my Lord." And how often it is sometimes that we do not see the Lord in front of us. The Lord is in front of us. The Lord is behind us. The Lord is surrounding us. The Lord is all the time with us. "We have taken away my Lord." Why? Because we have filled into our lives things that have nothing to do with the Lord. And that's why we miss seeing the Lord. We cannot recognize the Lord. Mary becomes in the body of Jesus has been stolen away. Somebody put it away. You see? Internet. There is artificial intelligence. There is media. They have taken away your interest. They have taken away the Lord. This is a challenge that we have to face as we come face to face with the Lord and what happened to him. Mary saw the removed stone but came to the wrong conclusion. Very interesting. Let's look at Mary's supposition. Very interesting if you look at John chapter 20 verse 15. It says that Mary's supposition. Mary supposed. Sometimes things do not get right in our way. Sometimes things go astray from what we would like them to be. And we don't see the Lord in those things. And we suppose. We suppose. Poor Mary, in spite of her faithfulness in following the Lord Jesus Christ, she supposed. She supposed the body of Christ stolen when she found an empty tomb. Chapter 20, verse 1 and verse 15. She supposed, she did not remember what the Lord had said to her earlier. Oh, somebody had stolen my body, that my Lord's body. She supposed her brethren not to believe what he said. Oh, if I could go back to tell the brethren, to tell the disciples, the Lord is risen, the Lord is stolen, they will not believe. They will not believe. They will say, that those are the words of a woman. How can we trust a woman? No, she supposed that her brethren would not listen to her. She supposed her beloved no more near. Oh, the beloved was standing behind her, and the beloved was asking, why are you weeping? She could hear his voice. Why are you weeping? But she supposed the beloved no more near, because they have stolen away his body. She supposed and blundered that Jesus was the gardener. Of all things, here was the master whom you love, who had cast out the seven demons, and now gardener. How could that be? You know, sometimes our regard for our Lord is like this also. If we have such poor opinion of our Lord that when we are in trouble, we think of him as not interested in us. As somebody else apart from who he claims himself to be. This could be our supposition. Wrongly supposed. She had the mistaken belief that she could cling on. And when she knew it was Jesus later on, oh, she thought, I will not give him up again. She clung on to the Lord's feet. Don't go away. She supposed she could have Christ physically for her life. This is not what the Lord intended. The Lord intended a more spiritual and permanent relationship, a personal relationship with him who is in heaven. Yes, Mary's wrong oppositions. Consider now Mary's response. It was natural. I mean, putting yourself in the circumstance, so sad to have lost a master and a beloved, so sad, she had forgotten the fact. A lot of things stressed her, a lot of worries came into her mind, and so she had forgotten the fact. What were the facts? One, Scripture had foretold his resurrection, John 29. Scripture, if she had read her scripture, she would know that the Lord would not be in his tomb. Psalm 16:10 tells us that the Lord will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. know that Lord God will raise his son up again. You do not know your scriptures. And so many of us are in this situation and condition because we do not know the scriptures. Do we still read the scriptures every day? We need our food, but do we need the scriptures to be our spiritual food? The Savior had forecast it. Matthew 16:21. I must go to Jerusalem, and I must see the high priest, the elders, and the scribes, and they will kill me. They will, but on the third day I will rise again. Matthew 16:21, 17:21, and so on. The Lord had forecast them. The Lord had foretold them. The disciples should know, they should expect it. But it was just empty words. How often we read the word of God and it doesn't mean anything to us. It just goes in one eye, I call it one eye, for one ear, and it goes out the other one. The third pucker was also fortified. A stone had been rolled across to ensure that the Lord will not rise again. Why? Because the people who alleged that said the Lord had said earlier that on the third day he would rise again. Even the enemies believed that, but they did not. So, for this reason, that the sepulcher was sealed. Mary ran to tell Peter and John, "The Lord is not here. They have stolen my beloved's body." John and Peter did not quite believe it. They ran back to the tomb. It was the word of a woman. Not trustworthy. We must go and see. And they saw three. What three things? And what did they see? They saw. Yes, they saw. But what did they see? Let's see what they saw. The three sightings, John 20:5-8. John saw. Now we who study English would not be able to understand what the scriptures really said. So we must go into the Greek. That our English is filled up in making and describing the incident clearly to us. John saw, it was the Greek word lepo, meaning to just glance, have a quick look. When John went into the tomb, although he outfaced Peter because he was a young man, running to the tomb, he reached the tomb first. When he was outside the tomb, he stopped. He looked inside. There were the gravestone, the grave clothes. So what? He saw. So what? The clothes were there. He spoke nothing to him. The word saw, he just had a quick glance. Has no challenge for him. Then Peter, who was older, who could not run that fast, he arrived, but he straight away went in. Yes, or so. And it's a Greek word, heroeo. It's a different word, not the same as the one used of John. He realized, oh, why is the head cloth folded up carefully on one corner? Why are the clothes lying nicely and neatly on another side of the grave? Why? He realized. But he did not understand. He did not understand. Then John was courageous enough. He stepped in. And he went in, saw, studied what he saw, and he came to the understanding that indeed it was more more than what it seems to be. And so we use the word ego. So, know and understand and think you need. Yes, the Lord must have risen. The Lord must have risen. Because there's no other way to explain how the clothes could be just lying down there, neat and tidy, how the headcloth could be in one corner, folded up. If somebody had stolen the body, he would not leave things like that. If Jesus had risen from the dead, risen again like this, surely the clothes would be crumpled. No, everything's clean. So he theorized. That's the word Edo. Peter saw more on the inside. He saw what was inside, therefore he had more sight. But it was John who realized what was happening. He had more insight. And that's what we should do. When we read the scriptures, many of us read for the sake of reading. But we don't see the inside. How many of us here have read this passage again and again and again and again and again and again many times? And it does not mean anything to you. Because you haven't got the insight to understand things. And that's why you miss so much, so much. No wonder he perceived and believed. For Peter could just perceive and wonder. He did not understand. Right. Look at Mary's frustration. Mary saw Peter and John return home. So tell us. But she waited and she wept. Then Mary was rewarded in the sight. Somehow seeing, somehow watching what was happening. What sight did she see? She saw two resplendent angels, but her remorse made her ignore the fact. She saw the two angels, one sitting at the head of the stone, the stone, and the other one at the feet. And she saw them so radiantly bright, but she did not understand. She saw the resurrected Savior, but her recognition was impaired. It was a gardener. She looked back, hello gardener. She could not recognize. Her vision was impaired. Now, let's go deeper. Have a deeper insight into the sight of Mary's three sadness. If you read in Matthew and John 21, she sees the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And the word used is lepo. She had an idea. She looked, oh, the stone is not there. All right, that's all. It did not impress her. She glanced casually and arrived at the wrong conclusion. Someone has stolen away my Lord. She sees two angels in white. Chapter 20, verse 12. Hereo. Why are the angels there? Oh. She was steeped in a natural theory and could not see the supernatural. How could a physical person who was supposed to have died and I saw him dead, suddenly not been dead no more? They could not believe that. They did not see the point of that. She turned around and saw another word, Theoreo, Jesus, but knew him not. She turned around and this time she saw Jesus, three different words, as different from the English word saw. Three different words to show the insight of this person Mary. She turned around and she saw Jesus. And she came out with their own hearing. Just as today, many people reading this account of the Lord's resurrection would have come up with many theories. So she could not see the spiritual for her logical theories. Now, look at Mary's jubilation. So happy after she realized seven things. Mary's blissful tears. From Mary's broken-hearted tears to Mary's blissful tears when she saw the living Savior behind her. She was the first one to behold Jesus after his resurrection. Woman, the witness of the woman is not reliable. Don't trust the woman. The Lord appeared to the woman first. You have a very high priority in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. True, the word of God said, woman, submit. Woman, cover your head. And so on. But let me tell you this. The woman's role is of primary importance to the Lord. And he appeared after his resurrection to the woman first. And to one who is not of good morality, so to speak. Because of her grief, Mary did not notice anything. Can you appreciate how much the Lord appreciates you as a woman? Or perhaps you cannot appreciate what you fight for your own rights, not to do what you want to do. That's between you and the Lord. But let me say this, the Lord treasures you. As a woman, he loves you. He gives you a very important role to play in the life and of the church. The appearance of Jesus to Mary, a woman, was so unexpected that she did not realize that he was Jesus. An evidence of his elective love, as well as a mark of the narrative historic city, that his story must be true, that a writer could record that Jesus appeared first to a woman, because Jewish writers would not announce that it's possible. How could the Lord appear to a woman? The Lord appeared to a woman because of high respect that he attributed to the role of the woman. Mary's blissful tears when she saw the living Savior, we have finished. Maybe start talking from that. Firstly, why was she so happy? She recognized the cross. John chapter 20, verse 7. It was a familiar voice. Mary! Oh, who could that be? That's a very familiar voice. Who could that be to call me with that kind of voice? Mary! I'm not sure whether that it is the voice you. But anyway, it was a familiar voice to Mary. Mary hearing my voice cannot recognize me. Alright. Mary, it was very familiar. John chapter 20, verse 16. So familiar that Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Now, the very fact that she used Rabboni, my teacher, she could have used Rabbi, very commonly as a teacher. But she did not. Rabboni, my own teacher, my own teacher. She began to associate herself very personally with the Lord Himself. Then you always have a personal experience with the Lord. It's very important. Because unless you have a personal relationship with the Lord, and the Lord to you is just objective and far away, then it's difficult to live a Christian life. Because every time you are in trouble, you find difficult to overcome. But when you have personal relationship with the Lord, He eliminates all the difference. It was a former teacher's voice, Rabboni. Rabboni means my teacher, and it's more personal and less formal than the title Rabbi. Right, she refused to let him go, knowing that at last she had found her master and her beloved Lord. She clung on to the Lord Jesus. She wouldn't let him. The Lord said, "Touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto him, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God." No, please. Let me go. I am to relate to you no more physically. I am to relate to you more spiritually and personally. Mary had lost Jesus once before his crucifixion. Mary did not want to lose him again after his resurrection. Stop clinging to me. That's what it literally says there. Do not touch me. And yet, he really mentioned from 3 verse 9, there were disciples whom the Lord Jesus allowed to cling onto his feet. But for Mary, there was a very personal difference. Do not touch me. Because you are always thinking of the physical relationship. It's time that you get above all that and relate to me spiritually and personally. Touch me, Lord. Okay. So she recognized the voice of the Lord. She refused to let him go. She received new instruction and clarification. Touch me, Lord. But why? Now comes the clarification. Because of Christ's resurrection and ascension, there is now a new relationship. No more the previous physical relationship. Now it is going to be a new one. Mary's teacher and herself. Between Mary and the Lord. Spiritual instead of physical. Touch me not. Don't cling on to me. Let me go. Mary and the other disciples. Go and tell the brethren. Oh, it's different now. Before, it was Peter, the disciple. Before, it was John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. No, they are your brethren. The other Mary, they are your sisters. And that's why we read in Matthew 12:49, who are these people, the Lord said, pointing to the other disciples. Mary, the other, the brethren in the family, all these, they are your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Go to my brethren and say unto them, them and the Lord, I ascend. There's a relationship now between them and the Lord. I ascend to my Father, your Father. I ascend to my God and your God. It's different now. It is no more my God, not your God. It is different now. My Father, not your Father. My God, your God. My Father, your Father. This relationship between the Lord and all of us is so very, very good. Let me conclude with this first part. Mary, now that you weep no more, what figures thou? When Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. And this is our duty, dear brethren, especially the sisters. This is now your duty. The Lord is in a new relationship with you. Mary's 3 privileged subjects. 1, she was the recipient of 3 special graces. She was the first one to know Jesus was risen from the dead. She was the first one to see angels. She was the first one to be the first to see Jesus alive. These were special privileges given to Mary. And to be a proclaimer of the good news. And what must she do now? Her responsibility, that he had spoken these things unto her. Mary was an extraordinary woman. And we end this very, we end her story with this very, very precious word. Lovingly devoted to the Lord in his life and resurrection. A woman witness who spoke what she saw. A woman witness who spoke what she saw. Have you spoken what you see, dear? This is the challenge to you on this post-resurrection morning. Or will you be like the Samaritan woman? Remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? She went back to herself and said, come see the man. And see there is Peter. See for yourself. I have known him. See for yourself. Come, see him. This was the witness of the woman. May be yours. Okay, very quickly, we just go down to Thomas. Thomas, why are you missing? On the day when the disciples saw the Lord Jesus Christ, you were not there. Why are you missing? Where are you? He wanted to see and feel to believe. Later on, when he told that Jesus had appeared, the sightings in John 20 is seeing believing. Right. Seeing and catching a glimpse. Now let's examine certain words in the Greek. In English, all have been translated see. All see and saw. No difference. But here, we see the difference. Seeing in catching a glimpse. Therefore, be aware of it. Mary saw the stone removed from the sepulchre. She saw the stone removed. The stone had been stolen. John saw the linen cloth in the tomb, but not going. He did not understand that the result of a glimpse, a glance. And Thomas must see to believe. Thomas at first thought that, oh, it's enough. And then let me see. Let me have a glimpse of him. If you say he's still living, let me have a glimpse of him. Okay. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them. He did not have any glimpse. So they had then told Thomas of it. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. And this word seen is not the same word as Thomas used. And it means, we have seen him, we have touched him, we have come to the conclusion, we have everything to know about him. We are sure we know he is what he is. Horao. We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see, except I shall be convinced with what I see, in his hands the print of the nail, and put my finger into the print of the nail, and thrust my hand into life, into his side, I will not believe. Oh, what a great pity. What a great pity. Unless he is convinced that he will not believe. Okay, let's see how the Lord convinced him. That was probably why that Sunday Thomas went missing. Seeing with a closed mind and coming up with hearing. Peter saw the linen cloth and the head packing. He theorized what would have happened. Mary saw two angels and Jesus, but did not recognize him. Today, many refuse to believe the Lord's resurrection and theorize as to what would have happened. So that today, we have the stolen body theory, a theory that the body was stolen, but then the stone was sealed upon the mouth of the sepulcher. How could the body be stolen? It was all sealed and guarded by the soldiers. But then, there's still the theory. There was theory of the swoon theory. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ did not actually die. He just swooned. And when he went into the grave, the supper fresh air, cool him down, and he woke up, and then he walked away. How could he walk away? Then the stone was completely stealing the supper, the hole in the grave. See, the substitution theory. Oh, the person who died on the cross was a human person. He was not Jesus. And though we come out, these people profess to see Jesus, to theorize with all their theories, but they never rouse the Lord Jesus Christ. They never had the Lord. Seeing by putting one and one together and coming to a conclusion to believe him. Let us all idols be convinced that Jesus is Jesus, where reasoning ends, faith takes one over. Don't saw that, this is the word idol all the time. Don't saw the evidence, remember what he was taught and believed. So the ten saw idol, the resurrected Jesus, and they believed. Though they could not understand, we cannot understand all, but let us believe. Thomas refused to believe except he could see. And so we see the different uses of the word see, but differently in Greek. Right. Though he might not be able to understand, he wanted to see. The other disciples therefore say, we have seen the Lord. Then Rao is one word which means it is true. We have seen. We have touched. We have literally felt him. He is there. Really, really powerful. This is the sea. Then we come to the sea, this kind of sea of Jesus, the sight of Jesus. Okay, we finish. Many have believed in the resurrected Christ because of the evidence, though they did not be understood. Look at all the post-resurrection appearances. I have no time to deal with that. In 1 Corinthians 15, our brother Joseph dealt with that last week. Look at the changed lives of the apostles, from cowardice to courage. They were cowards before. They denied Christ, but then they suddenly became so courageous to proclaim and witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The church and the Christians down the ages today, you and I, today we stand up for the Lord. These are evidences of a true self-following of the Lord Jesus. So, the ten apostles kept telling Thomas that they had seen the Lord. That's why they believed. And the Lord himself told Thomas, after he had told Thomas, touch me, feel me, see for yourself. That's why he believed. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You and I, we have not seen. We cannot be for our own. We have not seen yet. We are going to see him face to face, as we sang just now. Face to face one day. But now we cannot see him. But blessed are those that have believed but have not seen him. Look, Thomas's demand and Jesus' command. Thomas demanded, I said I shall see his hands. Jesus appeared the week after and said, behold my hands. Thomas said, and put my finger into the print of the nail. Jesus said, reach hither your fingers. Thomas said, and thrust my hand into his side. Jesus said, reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side. I do not believe unless all these things are done. Jesus said, be not faithless, but believe. Thomas answered, when challenged with all these commands, to answer the demands, Thomas, at the end of it all, said, my Lord and my God. So tonight you will be wanting all of us to be able to say, my Lord and my God, as we leave from this place. My Lord and my God. So, blessed are those after him who believe. Though they have not seen, they may not be Harharao, but they may have Edo, and be convinced, no more theorizing, see him as he is, yet have believed. Then all cannot see Jesus today, but can still believe in him. First, believe in the person of the resurrected Christ with the evidence before him. Believe in the promise of the resurrected Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. He that delivers in me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Believe in the providence of faith in the resurrected Christ by reading John's Gospel. John's Gospel is not complete, but it is enough evidence to record all that we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. Do not miss out on the resurrection power of promise. But to all who do not see, but yet believe. Blessed are those after him who believe, though they have not seen him, yet have believed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that word. We thank you that although we have not been able to see the Lord Jesus Christ physically, yet we are able to see him spiritually. Manifest yourself to us, that we may see him and accept him as the one who is our Lord and Savior, who is our sovereign and master, the one whom we love and serve. So blessed Lord, we pray, even as we part now and adjourn to a time of fellowship later on. We give thee thanks in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.